Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Hadassa Bat Yitzchak, Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is Donald Trump finally declares a national emergency and says he's going to use executive powers to build the wall. We're going to discuss how it's too little, too late, and the terrible tragedy of Trump's presidency, why it's such a tragic failure, really, on all counts. And the second subject we're going to discuss is, how does the left-wing ruling party of Israel, the Likud, win over right-wing votes? And why do people think the Likud is a right-wing party when it's not? It's a left-wing party. How does this happen? How is this possible? It's so illogical, it's unbelievable, but we're going to discuss the psychology behind all of this. But first, let's start off with Donald Trump and his declaration of a national emergency. If Ted Cruz had been elected president, as we in JTF urged people to support, we did everything we could. We put up hundreds of videos supporting Ted Cruz and warning that Donald Trump would not be a good president. If Ted Cruz had been elected, on day one, he was going to start working to build that wall. He was going to use executive powers and emergency powers and do all the things that Donald Trump says he's going to do now, that Donald Trump half-heartedly is doing now. He was going to do all that on day one. The wall would have been built by now if Ted Cruz had been elected president. And he wasn't going to sell out and make it a fence instead of a wall. He was going to build a real wall. But anyway, we didn't get a real conservative in the White House. We didn't get an honest, strong leader like Ted Cruz. We got Donald Trump, who's a liar and a fraud, dishonest, sleazy, slimy, ignorant, and stupid. And so he declares an emergency over 2 years after he becomes president. If this is a national emergency, why didn't he declare it on day one of his presidency? Why did he wait over 2 years? More than half of his term is over, and now he's declaring a national emergency? And that's going to be one of the issues that's going to be brought up in the legal challenges, because presidents usually have tremendous discretionary power to declare national emergencies if they do it properly. Ted Cruz, who was the law clerk for Supreme Court justices, who was at the top of his class in Princeton Law School and in the top Ivy League law schools, Ted Cruz, the genius, the legal genius, would have known all of that. Trump, the moron, does it over 2 years into his presidency. And so it's going to be brought up, if this is such an emergency, why did you wait over 2 years to do it? And the second thing that's going to be brought up against Trump is, why did he sign a bill that gives him $1.3 billion for barriers? He signed a bill that gives him $1.3 billion to build only barriers, no wall. It specifically says in the bill that he's not allowed to build a wall. No wall can be built, only barriers, which means a fence. That's a glorified term for a fence, the same thing that we had under Obama and Clinton and Bush and all the other presidents. We're getting the same thing under Trump, a fence. And again, he got $1.3 billion. Keep that figure in your mind for a moment. Before the government shutdown, we had a bill which gave him $1.6 billion for the same thing, for the same fence, for the same steel barrier, and Trump refused and didn't support it, and the government shutdown started. A 35-day shutdown that was very unpopular. I don't care when the government shuts down. I think most of the federal government should go out of business. So I didn't care. But among crazy, brainwashed Americans, they thought, oh no, my Social Security check and my this and my farm bill and this and all the other subsidies I get and everything else and the post office. The Americans are brainwashed to thinking that we can't live 5 minutes without the huge federal government bureaucracy. And so that was very unpopular and hurt Trump and hurt the Republicans and hurt the conservative cause. And again, he had, before the shutdown, a $1.6 billion appropriation for the fence, for the barrier, the steel barrier, which is a fence. He had $1.6 billion, and yet he refused it and started the government shutdown. Now he got less. He got $300 million less than he had before the shutdown. And he signed it. If that's not a cave-in, if that's not a surrender, I don't know what is. And again, that's going to be brought up in the legal challenge. They're going to bring it up and say, this is a national emergency? Then why did you, if it's such a national emergency that a wall be built, why did you sign a law now, passed by both houses of Congress, that forbids you to build a wall? If there is a national emergency that requires the building of a wall, why did you sign a bill that forbids you to build a wall? Now, Trump then, in making the announcement that he's signing a national emergency to get funds to build a wall, in making this announcement, this undisciplined, unscripted idiot, as idiotic president, said at the White House, said in his White House announcement, that he didn't need to declare a national emergency. He was doing it because he just wanted to build it faster. He said, but he could have built it slower. He could have accepted whatever money they give him and built whatever he's going to build at a slower pace. So he didn't really need to declare a national emergency. This is what he said. You don't think that's going to come back to bite him in the legal challenges, that they're going to say, the guy said it's not an emergency. He said he didn't need to declare it. If he didn't need to declare it and he could have done it slower and he could have accepted what Congress was giving him if he wanted to, then it's not a real national emergency. This is all going to be used against him. And of course, JTF would like to see Trump win the court cases. Of course, we want to see whatever you can build, whatever you build at that border, we want to see that built. We want to see a concrete wall built all across the border. But of course, we want to see Trump win the legal challenges. But he created so many unnecessary obstacles because of his stupid mouth and his stupid tweeting and because of his ignorance of the law and of government, the stable genius. He calls himself a stable genius, the most stupid person ever to be in the White House. Now, Trump has already given up on a real wall. Again, it's a steel barrier, he's saying. And it's really just a fence. It's just fencing. It's the same thing that we had under Obama and Bush and Clinton and all the other presidents. We had fencing under all of them. And obviously the fence doesn't work, the concept of a fence. He says, no, this is going to be a steel barrier. Remember what he was saying as president, as a candidate, he promised hundreds of times at every rally, everywhere he went, he promised he was going to build a big, beautiful concrete wall. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And by the way, he has been saying for the past year that we have to finish building the wall, as if he already started building it, he didn't start anything. The wall, there has never been any building of any wall. He's just lying. And that doesn't bother you. He just makes things up. Makes things up that involve the national security and survival of the United States, and you idiots go along with it. Now, despite everything that I've just said now, we're in such a bad situation, which Trump and you Trumpsters have created. You and you Trumpsters created this mess. You created this catastrophe. As Ann Coulter said, and she was the biggest Trumpster at one point, but now she says the real national emergency is that we have an idiot in the White House. I mean, she finally gets it. Anyway, we have now a situation where Trump is terrible. What he's doing is terrible. But the Democrats are even worse. So this is what we're stuck with. Trump or the Democrats were even worse. And just to show you how bad the Democrats are on this issue, Beto O'Rourke said that the fencing that's already, the fence from Obama and from Clinton and Bush, that the fencing that is already on the wall, he's going to tear that down. He wants to tear down any barriers. He wants to open up the border completely and let everybody come marching across the border. Everybody can come. Billions of people come marching across the border. He wants to tear down all fencing. You remember Ronald Reagan said at the Berlin Wall, tear down, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall? He said, tear down this fence. He tried to imitate Ronald Reagan, except to tear down the fence at the Mexican border. Can you imagine if we had Beto O'Rourke in the White House and they tear down all the fencing and they say everybody's welcome in and everybody, we're not going to expel anybody and anybody can, everybody and everybody can come? Now, that is not what Hillary Clinton was planning to do or what her husband did in the White House. That's not, I mean, Hillary Clinton and her husband, when they were in the White House, they expelled millions of people. Millions of illegals were thrown out of the country when the Clintons were in the White House. Millions of illegals were thrown out of the country when Obama was in the White House. Beto O'Rourke and the other extreme left Democrats that are running now are promising to stop even what Clinton and Obama were doing. They're promising to have a policy that's so extreme they're going to let everybody in. And there's going to be no border controls. They're going to tear down even the little fencing that you have there, the broken down little fencing you have there now. Even that's too much for them. They're going to tear that down. And you know they're against funding ICE. So they don't even want patrolling on the border. Now, of course, they're not going to be able to do all of that. A lot of that is a bluff. They're not going to be able to do all of that. But even if they do a lot of that, the damage will be tremendous. So we have a situation where Trump has given up on the wall. He's only going to build fencing. He wants to do it with emergency funds. He probably will have a hard time doing it. The funds will probably never even be appropriated because it'll be tied up in the courts. Maybe in the future, if he was reelected to a second term, eventually we'd get some funding. But it's not going to be what we really need. And because of his delays and because of his stupid statements saying he didn't really need it, it wasn't really an emergency, he could have done it slower. I mean, all these statements that hurt a legal case because of all of his stupid statements, he may lose the case completely. This is the mess we have with Donald Trump. And the Democrats, the alternative we have is the Democrats, who are even worse. What a nightmare. What a nightmare. And again, I want to remind you of something that I've mentioned for weeks now, and you Trumpsters, it went right over your head. Donald Trump, when he was running for president, said correctly that the nation at that time had a $19 trillion national debt under Obama. $19 trillion national debt. That was the national debt when he was running. And he said, if America continues at this pace, you're going to have... the country's going to go bankrupt. The whole country's going to collapse. The country, the economy, everything's going to collapse and going to go completely bankrupt. And he was right when he said that. Trump was saying that as a candidate. He said that over and over again at his campaign rallies. $19 trillion in debt. We got to get this spending under control. This is what he said over and over again. There's only one problem. He has drastically increased spending. He is spending at a faster rate than Obama. He is engaging in a spending binge that makes Obama look like a fiscal conservative. And guess what? The $19 trillion national debt that you had under Obama is now over $22 trillion. It passed the $22 trillion mark. $22 trillion in debt now. Trump said $19 trillion in debt threatens the country eventually with bankruptcy. We now have $22 trillion in debt. If the $19 trillion was a threat to our national survival, what would the $22 trillion in debt be? Am I saying something that's wrong or illogical or factually wrong? You tell me. You correct me if I'm saying something wrong. And you're not concerned about any of these things I'm saying? None of these things concern you? I'm talking about you Trumpsters out there. None of these things concern you? You all left JTF. Those of you who were Trumpsters, you left JTF hysterical. Ah, how can we be against this wonderful, great president, this stable genius who was elected, he calls himself a stable genius, who was elected president. How could you do that? Wow. What a mess. We're probably going to have to support Trump for re-election in 2020 because of the alternative. But what a nightmare he has created. You Trumpsters out there, you've created a national nightmare. And yes, I think Trump will have a hard time getting reelected, a very hard time, because his presidency is pure chaos. He doesn't know how to manage. He doesn't know how to run things. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know what he's tweeting. Again, Ann Coulter, who was his biggest supporter, said the national emergency is that we have an idiot in the White House. Now, we're going to conduct an aggressive campaign, which even the Trumpsters will probably like, because it's going to be an aggressive campaign to prevent the far-left Democrats from winning the presidency in 2020. We're probably going to have to do that. We don't have any choice. I'm saying probably because I'm hoping and praying that something happens to Trump and that he won't be the Republican nominee in 2020. I'm hoping and praying that happens. And that we'll have a sane president with an IQ above the single digits, an IQ bigger than his shoe size, I hope, in the White House. I'm hoping that we'll get that. And you know, he's planning to come out with this Middle East suicide plan for Israel after the Israeli elections on April 9th. That's another great danger. If he pushes hard on that, then we won't support him even against a left-wing Democrat. If he starts pressuring Israel and pushing Israel to commit suicide, we won't support him even if his opponent is a left-wing Democrat. So just bear that in mind. So we'll see what happens. But right now, things do not look good. They don't. And if you think they look good, you're living in a complete fantasy world. He's made America great again. After over 2 years of his presidency, you think this country is in better shape? You think the immigration situation at the border is better than it was over 2 years ago? The statistics show that it's not. The statistics show more people are coming in than ever before. The demographic statistics show the situation is worse than it was before, and it's becoming worse at a faster pace than we had under Obama. The debt situation, which is what the whole Tea Party was formed. The whole Tea Party was formed to deal with national debt, to stop pushing America to national bankruptcy. Where are all these Tea Party people now? Trump is outspending Obama and Clinton and Bush. Where are all of the Tea Party people now? There are very few sane voices out there. Ann Coulter has become a sane voice. But I'll tell you something. I congratulate Ann Coulter that she has the guts to tell the truth now, because it's very unpopular and all the Trumpsters are cursing her for being truthful because they never want to face the truth. They're like their boss, like the head of their cult, Trump. They live in a fantasy world. But I credit her for finally coming out and telling the truth. But remember, she came out over 2 years after his presidency is over now and said, "That's it. I know this is a complete bluff. This is a complete fraud. It's not for real." She came out over 2 years too late. We issued this warning the minute Trump announced his candidacy in 2015. We were warning you about the dangers of this guy and how this would turn into a disaster. We warned you. We warned you more than a year and a half before he became president. We warned you this was going to happen. That's the mess we face, and we'll all be, depending on what happens, it's possible that we're going to be supporting him for re-election. It's possible we'll all be fighting together to get him re-elected just because the alternative is so bad, but that doesn't erase the fact that this was a terrible thing to put him in the White House. Terrible move. We were right, and you're going to see more and more how right we were. And I remember getting into so many arguments with people online and elsewhere when we did our video saying that he wouldn't build the wall and that the wall thing wasn't going to... They said, no, that's the one thing. The minute he gets elected, he's going to... And if he doesn't do that, then we're finished with him. We won't have anything to do with him. The same people who said that are still supporting him. Okay, that's Trump. And again, I hope something good happens. I hope he doesn't run. I hope something good happens and brings him down and we get a real conservative. I doubt it, but I hope that happens. And I hope he wins the court case, because I'd like to see even the steel barrier that he wants to build. I'd rather have that than nothing. So I do want him to win the court case. I'd like to see him win. I just wish he'd keep his big mouth shut, that stupid clown. I wish he'd keep his big fat mouth shut and stop tweeting, because every time he does it, it's evidence in the case against him that's going to be used against him. They're already suing him on the wall. You already have landowners on the Texas border already filed a lawsuit against him. But because of his big mouth and his tweeting, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't know what he's doing, he's giving ammunition to all of the enemies. But despite everything I said, I hope he wins the court case. But I'm still saying what I'm saying to you because I want you to wake up and be aware if there's even a slight sliver of a chance that things can ever be turned around in the future. And it's a very slight chance because I think probably this country is probably lost. I think America's finished. But if there's the slightest chance that America could be turned around, I want you to understand what is happening so that we can grab that slight chance in the future, maybe. Even though I doubt that it will have that opportunity. I think this country is going down. He made America great again. Yeah, sure. Now, the second subject we want to speak about is the Likud. The Likud is the ruling party in Israel. And the one thing they always say to the voters election time is, you're going to have another Oslo. And they cause a panic among so-called right-wing voters, voters who consider themselves to be right-wing, because most Israeli voters consider themselves to be right-wing, especially most Israeli Jews. I mean, the Arab voters in Israel, of course, want to destroy Israel. But you have Israeli Jews who are maybe 80% of the voters in Israel. And the vast majority of them certainly consider themselves to be on the right. And Likud and Bibi run a scare campaign every election time that you have to vote for Likud, otherwise the left is going to win and we're going to have another Oslo. We're going to have the Oslo agreements were the agreements where they agreed to start negotiating with Yasser Arafat, the Arab Hitler, and start handing over to the Arab Hitler, Yasser Arafat, Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and handing over territory to him. And bring in the Arab terrorists and arming the Arab terrorists and all the other terrible things they did under Oslo. And they're saying if the Likud doesn't win, you'll get another left-wing government in that's going to do the same thing that the government of Yitzhak Rabin and Shimon Peres did with Oslo. What they don't mention is that the Oslo process of giving up land started under Menachem Begin and the Likud. The real, serious, massive retreats from the land of Israel started under Menachem Begin and the Likud. Not under the open left, but under the phony right. It was Menachem Begin and the Likud that gave the entire Sinai to Egypt, to Muslim Nazi Egypt. The Sinai is three times the size of the rest of the state of Israel. Imagine giving up 75% of all your land, 75% of your territory. That's what Menachem Begin and the Likud did in exchange for a worthless piece of paper with Muslim Nazi Egypt. And Menachem Begin and the Likud agreed to autonomy for the Arabs in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. The same thing that was the basis for the Oslo agreements, because they also said in the Oslo agreements that they're giving autonomy to the Arabs in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. So Begin is the one, and the Likud are the ones that started this, that recognized a so-called Palestinian people and agreed to give them so-called autonomy and agreed, which of course really means independence, and agreed to surrender the entire Sinai. It was Begin and the Likud that started this process, not the left. Of course, the left is terrible, and they are a terrible danger, but the phony right is worse. And people, the so-called right-wing voters, never learned this lesson. They never learn. And then it was Yitzhak Shamir, another prime minister that came after Begin from the Likud, Yitzhak Shamir from the Likud, who started the negotiations with the PLO terrorists. Before that, Israel never was willing to negotiate with the PLO terrorists. Everybody on the left, the right, everyone in Israel said that the PLO are Nazis, which they are. They said that they're Nazis. They want to exterminate the Jewish people. Their open charter calls for the extermination of Israel and the Jewish people. And that they would never negotiate with the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat, who said he wants to push the Jews into the sea and call for genocide against the Jewish people. They said they'd never negotiate with him. Arafat murdered thousands of innocent Jews. They said they would never negotiate with him. Yitzhak Shamir is the one from the Likud who agreed to start negotiations with him in the Madrid Conference. The Madrid Conference in Madrid, the capital of Spain. In 1992, they started negotiations under the Likud. Not the left. The phony right started negotiating with the PLO. The phony right started the Oslo negotiations that led directly to Oslo. It was the Likud that started all of this. And when Yitzhak Shamir in the Persian Gulf War changed Israeli doctrine and agreed not to fire back after 37 missiles were fired from Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein's. Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein fired 37 missiles on Tel Aviv and other Israeli cities. And Israel agreed not to retaliate. When that happened, when Israel decided not to retaliate, as a gesture to George H.W. Bush, so as not to antagonize Arab nations, when Yitzhak Shamir agreed to that, everyone in the world, by the way, was sure that Israel was going to retaliate, because in the past, Israel always retaliated when attacked. Shamir changed that. He agreed to sit back and turn the other cheek and not retaliate when 37 Scud missiles were fired on Israeli cities. Nobody would have been against Israel. In fact, people admired the fact that Israel retaliates and that Israel stands up and fights back. That's something people would admire. But Shamir wanted to show that modern Israel are the world's only true Christians. What I mean by only true Christians? Christians are supposed to turn the other cheek and not fight back and love their enemies. The only people I know that do that are Israelis and self-hating Jews. Anyway, Shamir agreed to do that. He agreed not to fire back. He started this Oslo agreement of defanging, basically castrating the Israeli army and castrating all Israeli defenses. Shamir started this in the Persian Gulf War in 1991. Shamir being from the Likud, not from the open left. And they always talk about the Oslo, what a disaster, what a catastrophe Oslo was, but they forget to tell you about Gush Katif. Gush Katif didn't happen under a left government. Gush Katif happened under Arik Sharon, who was elected prime minister as the head of the Likud. After he promised that he would never do this, that he would never expel anyone that he ran as a super right winger, and then he got selected, broke all of his promises, and threw 10,000 Jews out of their homes, massive expulsion, the second mass expulsion in Israeli history. Menachem Begin did the first one. Menachem Begin from the Likud did the first one at Yamit. Yamit in the Sinai. 3,000 Jews were thrown out of their homes at Yamit in the Sinai, and he destroyed beautiful Jewish communities in the Sinai. So Begin expelled thousands of Jews, created that precedent. The left and labor governments never did that. Begin expelled thousands of Jews at Yamit in the Sinai. Then Sharon followed up with the expulsion in Gush Katif of 10,000 more Jews and handed over all of Gaza to the Hamas terrorists, who are now firing thousands of missiles on Israeli cities in southern Israel. All of that happening under the Likud, not under the left. And if you want to speak about Oslo, the extension of the Oslo agreements was the Y agreements. Netanyahu did the same thing at Y that Rabin and Peres did at Oslo. He handed over 13% of Judea and Samaria to Arafat, and he hugged Arafat and handed over 13% of Judea and Samaria to Arafat in the Y agreements. And in the Hebron agreement, Hebron in English, Hebron, the second holiest city in the world after Jerusalem, the city where our forefathers, the matriarchs and patriarchs of the Jewish people, are buried, the second holiest city in the world. Netanyahu handed over 97% of that city to the PLO terrorists. The left didn't do it. Peres was afraid to hand over Hebron to the PLO. He was afraid to do it when he was prime minister. He didn't have the support of the people, because left-wing prime ministers can't get it done. The left-wing, when the left tries to do something like that, the whole country goes up in arms and says, oh no, what are you doing? This is crazy. But when Netanyahu and the Likud do it, it's okay. Then it's kosher. Because after all, if it was bad, would Netanyahu, the big hawk, the big right-winger, agree to do it? If he does it, it can't be so bad. If Sharon wants to throw the Jews out of Gush Katif, it can't be so bad. If Begin wants to hand over all of Sinai to Muslim Nazi Egypt, it can't be so bad. And when Begin handed over all of Sinai to Muslim Nazi Egypt, that led to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa coming in from Sinai into Israel. And now South Tel Aviv is over 70% African illegal aliens, thanks to the retreat from Sinai of Menachem Begin and the Likud. Oslo never ended. They say we're going to have a new Oslo. We still have the old one. It never ended. Netanyahu and his government are waiting for Abu Mazen and the Arab terrorists to accept their willingness to create a so-called Palestinian state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. But Netanyahu has indicated, he said, he's willing to create a Palestinian state. So this scare campaign, oh, if the Likud loses, the left is going to take over. The left is in power right now. The phony right is the left, and they're more dangerous than the left. We support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. Moshe Feiglin was in the Likud, but he was the one Likud member in the Knesset, in the Israeli parliament, who voted to bring down the government when Netanyahu freed thousands of Arab terrorists. By the way, who frees all of the, who gives the vast majority of Arab terrorists who have been freed? Who does this? This happens under the Likud, not under the left. When Netanyahu agreed to free thousands of Arab terrorists, murderers, and did all these other terrible things, Feiglin voted to bring down the government of his own party, of the Likud. And he knew that was the end of his career in the party, but Feiglin was the one person with a conscience, with morals, who was honest. And so we're supporting him and his new party, the Zehut Party, in the Knesset elections. I hope we can get him elected. The odds are against him. It's an uphill fight. But we're trying to get him elected, and we have hundreds of thousands of views on our videos pushing, not only pushing his candidacy, but explaining all the things that I'm explaining to you now. Are all of these things are being explained on our videos, in our advertising campaign. For the first time, hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews are being exposed to this message. For the first time since the murder of Harab Meir Kahana, Zechar Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, the murder of our great rabbi. For the first time, a large segment of the Israeli population is being exposed to this message because of JTF's advertising campaign. That's what JTF is doing. And that's what you're doing when you're active with JTF. You're helping us reach Israeli Jews with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's what we have to do if we're going to eventually turn this around. And so, that's our situation. Do we have a chance? We all, look, in the end, no matter how grim things may seem, for America, things are very grim, because God did not promise that America will continue to exist. America could go down. For Israel, though, and the Jewish people, that won't happen. In the end, Israel and the Jewish people will survive. There could be terrible tragedies, God forbid, and that's something we want to avoid. But Israel and the Jewish people will survive. That we're promised. That we're promised for eternity. But we want to bring the final redemption more quickly, and we want to wake people up. And we want people to know what the real truth is and the real facts are. If you don't want the truth to be buried anymore by the left and by the phony right, by the evil news media and by the big corporations that control the evil news media, if you don't want the truth to be buried anymore, if you want the real truth to be exposed to Israeli Jews for a change, then you're in the right place, because this is the one place where that is happening, in the purest way possible. And so, remember, we're fighting the good fight, we're bringing the truth to the people of Israel, and we're going to try to bring some truth to the people of the United States in the upcoming presidential election as well, if there's a chance to, if there's an opportunity to. But right now, but our advertising campaign, our money campaign, the things that we spend money on will only be for Israeli Jews. That will only happen in Israel. Putting up videos without advertising, just putting up free videos without advertising, that will do in the United States in English. You may ask, well, why do we have to have advertising? Because we wouldn't reach hundreds of thousands of people if we didn't advertise. Because Google, YouTube, Facebook, all of these sites rig their search engines against conservative and right-wing points of view, especially against our point of view. Without advertising, we'd never reach hundreds of thousands. We'd reach thousands, but not hundreds of thousands. So, that's where we stand. It's amazing, with our meager budget, at least some people in Israel are being exposed to the truth finally. And that's been happening, especially since last summer, since we started this big advertising campaign. Let's hope, God willing, that we can continue, and that instead of hundreds of thousands, we'll reach millions of Israeli Jews, and let's hope we can eventually wake the whole country up. With your help, and if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.